flip the slide. Tonight, I'm starting a two-week series titled, Who Are You? Now, you can think about it, and I almost wanted to take that song from NCIS, the Who Are You song, and play it and come in and be like, yeah, you know, all excited. And I was like, nah, you know, it's Sunday night. We're a little lower key on Sunday night than we are on Sunday morning. So I was just like, okay, we're not going to play the song. But that was my first thing. As soon as I started putting up the series, I was like, I could play that song. And then people would just be dancing, like all excited. And I was like, nah, forget it. So I had to change my mind. But if you would open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 1, 1 and 2. All right. I had to get through where we were going first. If you will open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 1, 1 and 2, we're going to go ahead and start our series tonight. And it says this. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God, our Savior in Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for what it is that you're going to show us tonight. I ask that you would hide me, God, that anything said would be of you. God, and it would not come from my lips, but it would come straight from you. And in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Look at your neighbor as you're being seated and say, who are you? So tonight, like I was telling you, I'm going to be doing this two-part series. Tonight is who are you? And we're going to reference a little bit of Paul tonight. So let me ask you this question. Are you a leader or are you a follower? Are you a team player or are you just like an innocent bystander? Or how about, are you a coach or a fan? You see, you can't always be the coach and the fan at the same time. Now, sometimes the coach can be a fan of a particular player, but he has to be reserved back enough to still be able to lead that player. I want to tell you tonight a couple of things about Paul. If you don't know who Paul is, Paul, when he first see him in the Bible, he was not a very good person. He was actually one of the people that you would say, you don't want anybody to follow him. You don't want people to look at Paul and understand anything about Paul, because if you do, they're going to be corrupt. They're going to hate Christians. They're going to want to kill people. That's how Paul was. But something happened to Paul that changed his sight. Literally. Something happened to Paul that completely changed him from the inside outward. He met on the road, he met Jesus face to face. The glory of him shone on his face and blinded him to where he could not see. Blinded him for days. And it was then that he had a change in his life. It was then that something happened to Paul that all of a sudden he said, I'm going to switch from this lifestyle to this lifestyle. And I'm going to tell you, when God changes your lifestyle, he doesn't just change your outside appearance. He changes the inside appearance. He changes your voice. And he changes the way you see things. So he changed his voice. He started speaking positively. He started encouraging people. He started taking up others next to him and bringing them into him and saying, let me show you what it is about God that makes him so interesting. He became a true follower of Jesus. You see, God can change you in an instant. It doesn't matter the junk that's going on. He can change you in a second. So if we have a guy who's got all of these problems, and then God changes him, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who are going to look at him and go, I still remember you before God did something in you. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who are Christians that are saying, I remember this person before they were good. And they continue to look at him and say, that's all I see is bad stuff you did before. I'm going to tell you today, church, when God brings somebody new in here, after he changes their life and sets them free and brings them on the right path, no more should we see what they just did. Because if God doesn't see it and we are to be Christ-like, we should not see it either. That doesn't mean that we're to be dumb about it. You know, I'm not going to look at somebody that just robbed a bank that Karen and got right with God and tell them that he's going to be in charge of our finances. That's not a smart decision. But we're not to hold it back against them either. Because God doesn't see the mistake anymore. So he completely changed who Paul was. We look in this passage and we see that he was writing to Timothy. Here's Paul writing to Timothy, who he had told to stay at another place and to speak the word and do what Paul had told him how to do. And he's writing to Timothy instructions on how to deal with day-to-day life. How to be a better preacher. How to be a better teacher. How to respond to different situations and different people. I'm going to tell you, not every single person in this room or people listening to the podcast, not every single person is going to like how I say something. Not every single person is going to respond the same way that the next person responds. I was watching a show last night, and it was talking about there was two people, and they both had the same exact type of surgery. And they gave one type of procedure to fix it, and it worked. But they gave one to the same thing to the other one, and it didn't work. They didn't respond the same way. Marilyn could probably tell you, if one person has a headache and they take Tylenol, that doesn't mean that Tylenol is going to work for this person. They may need something a little stronger. They may need Excedrin instead. But you guess what? The method is still the same. It's just how do you get it across to them? So Paul is giving Timothy these instructions. We see this in 1 Timothy, we see it in 2 Timothy, but he continues to give him instructions. How do you do things? Not just how to do it, but encouraging him along the way. You're doing good, keep going. I hope to see you soon. Keep going. I may not see you for a while. Keep going. You have to remember that at these days, they wrote everything. They didn't have text messaging. Thank God for text messaging, but sometimes it can be a pain in the butt. I will tell you, last night, I was trying to get a hold of Marilyn 3 different ways last night and couldn't get a hold of her. And finally, when I got a hold of her, it wasn't even her. It was Mark on the phone. And I was like, oh, that's not Marilyn, that's Mark. Sometimes being able to communicate the way we do now is great. Does anybody remember pen pals? Whoever had a pen pal? Anybody had a pen pal? Okay. Even some of the little ones had pen pals. It's called text buddies now. They just text them. But I remember when I was a kid that I had this other kid, and he lived in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and I lived in Granite City, Illinois. And so for me, that was a long way away until I moved to Missouri and realized really how close he was. But I had this pen pal, and I would write him stuff, and then I'd send it off to him, and then he'd send it one back to me. And by the time I got it, I couldn't remember what I told him. I'd blinked since then. I took a nap, you know. Some people say they ate since then. Some of you won't remember the message when I get finished with it. But by the time I got it, I didn't remember anything. So he's telling me stuff that I had asked him, and I'm like, okay, yeah, cool, you know, that's great. I'd write him back and send it back out. So he would always, Paul would pour into Timothy just by writing him letters. But you know what? Paul wasn't just writing just to any person. He was writing to someone that he considered a son. Somebody that he had brought up a little bit. You see, if he would have just wrote to just any old average Joe, they would probably have looked at it and said, why do I care what this says? So point number one tonight, hopefully it's on the screen, I think she got it. Paul knew he had a responsibility. Paul knew that once he got his experience with God and he had changed his life, he knew his responsibility was to bring up somebody next to him that could do the same thing when he's done. He knew that eventually it was going to come a time where he wasn't going to be able to do it anymore. If I was to ask you, how many guys in here love to fish? I got some people going up. Dave, if you never showed anybody else how to fish, eventually it would go away. If you didn't show anybody how to tie that specific knot on that hook to keep that hook from falling off, eventually it's just going to just be the line and the hook, and we're not going to know what to do. You see, he knew he had a responsibility to Timothy. I will tell you that some of you are under the understanding right now tonight, and this is going to hurt maybe somebody, but you're under the understanding tonight that once there's a youth pastor or a children's pastor in place, you don't have to help raise up the next generation. Statistically, for myself, just within the last 2 weeks that I moved here last Friday, I have spent a total of 2 hours with teenagers since I've been here. 2 hours. That's Sunday, two Sunday mornings and a Wednesday night. If I'm only spending 2 hours with them in 2 weeks, parents, you're with them a lot more than I am. It's not all my responsibility to change your student when I only see him 2 hours out of 2 weeks. There's 48 hours in 2 days. I haven't even seen him half of that time. I haven't even seen him really even a small percentage, maybe what, 2% or 1% of the time I see him? So how can I change your student in the 2 hours that I have when you have a lot more time with him than I do? But you see, he knew he had a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the next generation to raise them up. It's not just my job. It's not just Pastor Tommy's job. It's not just Mark and Marilyn's job over in the kids. It's not up to me and Aiden and Corey and Nathaniel to help get them to where they need to be. It takes all of us together, working together to do it. Because if you looked at me and you said, Pastor Brian, these are the steps that I've taken. These are what I'm doing to make sure that my kid, my daughter, my son is following God. I'm making sure that they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing this. Then I can look at you and say, great. Allow me to help you in this area. Allow me to encourage you to continue to have them do that. Instead of me looking at them and encouraging them to go and read their Bible, how about I encourage them to continue to read their Bible more than the 15 minutes a day that you ask them to read it? Maybe I can encourage them to read it 20 minutes. So then next month we can look at them and encourage them to go 30 minutes. And by the time we're done, they're doing an hour a day. You see, my job is to assist and raise up leaders. But it's all of our responsibility to raise up a new generation. I will tell you, my wife is not a cook. Amen. She's amening me down there. She's not a cook. If you want to know what we're having for dinner, you're going to either ask me or you're going to see us out at the Mexican restaurant. Or you'll see us at McDonald's because my kids love McDonald's. But if it was cooked, it was probably me that did it. You see, her grandma was a great cook. And she would cook. She would cook biscuits and gravy. And Anna would always say, man, I want my grandma's biscuits and gravy. They're so good. And one time she went over to her grandma and she said, will you teach me how to make biscuits and gravy? And you know what her grandma did? She did it all. She made it. She didn't put her hand in there and get in there and figure out how to make it and find the recipe and all that stuff. Grandma did it. So that didn't help anything. It didn't help her to get ready to learn how to make that dish. So for us, it's me. I'm doing the cook. I'm the cook. I'm the one that can find something in the cupboard that looks like we have nothing and make a meal out of it. She looks at me all the time. She goes, how did you do that? Oh, no, I just threw stuff together and it looked good, so I just hope it tastes good. You can add enough garlic to something and it is perfect. Dave's back there yelling, yes, garlic. But then on the other hand, she had a different grandma. And her grandma taught how to sew. She taught the girls how to do stuff. I know if I need a button put back on my shirt, I don't have to go to one of you ladies in the church. I can take it to my wife and say, I need this fixed. If I need my pants fixed, she can fix them. Her sister is doing her own designing. She's designing clothes and outfits. Why? Because her grandma took the time to raise up somebody else underneath her that would show her how to do it. The same thing that happened with Paul and Timothy, she did with sewing. She raised her up to know how to do it. So when she couldn't do it anymore, there was somebody already there. I was talking to Aiden and Ben and Corey back there. Corey, come on, say my name. There it is. I was talking to him the other day, and I was telling him, I said, guys, I said, the one thing you have to know is I'm going to make mistakes. There's going to be something I'm not going to do right. You all can say amen to that. I'm not going to be perfect. But when I fix my mistake. But my job is not to make a mistake and just let it go. My job is to fix it. But my job is to raise up new leaders. My job is to help those guys get to where they want to be. All three of them expressed some type of want to be in ministry. So it's, why would I sit and let them just fall and go to secular jobs and do whatever when I see that they have a potential to do something great? They have a potential to teach, to preach. So why would I not utilize that? Guess what? I'm going to show you something. When somebody raises somebody up, guess what happens? It takes the burden off of you. I'm going through this book. We have a 40 weeks. Thank you. 40 weeks that we're going through this book. And it's 40 different lessons. And I have four people doing it. So instead of me having to speak 40 times in Sunday school, now I only have to speak 10 times in Sunday school. And then I looked and I said, you know what? This is pretty cool because I'm writing it all out. And we started this morning. And it's taken me all the way to July. I bet nobody in here is thinking about July yet. But I've already got a whole year, almost a half a year of all of my stuff done already for Sunday school. Because I brought a couple people up and said, I want to help. And I said, okay, here's how you help. You want to learn how to speak? You start here. We'll go through it together. We'll work on it together. Paul knew he had a responsibility to Timothy to raise him up, to bring somebody else up with him. My grandpa has always taken us to the lake. We've always gone to the lake. And we have this fishing trip. We do it two times a year. We do it once, July 4th, whatever day that comes on, we leave that next day, the 5th. And then we do September. And my dad looks at me and he says, your grandpa's getting older. He's not going to make it probably a couple more times. I'm going to have to take over the reins of this thing. And I looked at him and I said, do you know what you're doing? And he said, yeah. He's like, he's shown me how to do things. I know how to get the campsite together. I know how to do this and I know how to do that. And I looked at him and I said, how do you know? He said, well, I've done it for so long. He's shown me how to do it. If he would have never shown anybody, it would have stopped right there with my grandpa. But instead, now my dad is taking up the reins. My dad's making sure that we still get to go out on these long weeks of fishing and having fun and hanging out with each other. And now my kids get a chance to see it. My brother's kids get a chance to go and experience what it's like to be out at the lake. If my dad didn't pick it up, it would have died right there. As soon as the next person stops, it would just be done. We see this even in corporations. When mom and dad make a fast food joint, or they have a business, and then all of a sudden they bring in another family member that takes over the job. And then you come to find out that this is six generations long of this company that's been built. It would have never been built if six generations ago they didn't show somebody how to do it. He had a responsibility, and he knew what it was. The second point tonight is this. Paul spent time with Timothy. He had to know that when he told him what he was telling him, that he was going to be able to understand it. He had to speak words to him that when he said it, Timothy would say, I get that. He knew what was good and what was bad. He knew how he could react, how much pressure he could put on him, or even how deep he could go with him with some of the things he was telling him. He spent time with him. This time only came with a relationship. Just how we are supposed to have a relationship with God. The only way that we will ever get to the point where we know exactly what it is that God is saying is by us having a relationship with him. We cannot hear what God's got to say if we don't take time and spend it with him to where he can speak back to us. Too many pastors and too many people want to just, okay, God, tell me what it is. Okay, thanks. Go and do it and come back and wait for him to speak again. He's waiting for you to spend just as much time with him as you're wanting to get from him. He knew Timothy. Paul knew who Timothy was. The funny thing about time is this. You either have too much time or not enough time. I don't think I've ever seen anybody say, I had just enough time in the day today to get all the stuff done I needed to get done. No, they said, I didn't get enough time in. I had to do this and do this and do this and do this. Or they looked and they said, time is so slow today because I have nothing else to do and it's only 5 o'clock. I wish this time would speed up so I can get to this appointment. Or man, that doctor took so much of my time. I could have been doing something else instead of sitting in that doctor's office. We're never satisfied with the amount of time we have. It's either too much time or not enough. And I'll tell you, it's probably more than not enough time than too much of it. If I had too much time, guess what? I would probably put more stuff in and find out that I still don't have enough time. He spent time with him. Paul took the time to pour into Timothy enough that he said that he is his son in the faith. You can't have a son in the faith by just looking at him and patting him on the back and walking away from him. You can't push him away and expect him to listen when you have something to tell him. If I was to come up and have Cody over here, if I had Cody looking at me and I was talking to Cody and I said, Cody, just go away. I don't want to talk to you right now. Cody, you're driving me crazy. Just go. Then when it came time for me to pour into him and I called him over to me, he wouldn't come to me. He wouldn't want to hear what I had to say because when it was his time to spend with me, I didn't want to do it. Yesterday, we were outside. We were playing Frisbee yesterday. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody knows me as Pastor Brian in this church. I've only been here 2 weeks. I don't know everybody. Cody comes running up and he goes, Pastor Brian, catch! Throws me a Frisbee. Okay. I had no clue who this kid was. Honestly, he probably could have been on the street and just heard them say my name is Pastor Brian, and I thought he went here, honestly. Because I didn't know who he was. But if I would have just looked at him and said, no, go away. Then when it got time for me to say, come here, he wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be there because guess what? They want just as much attention from you as they want and desire the video game. Or just as much time they want from you as they desire sitting in front of the TV. Because I will tell you, if you take a moment to spend time with them, it doesn't matter if all you're doing is watching TV with them. They're going to remember that. 5 seconds or 5 minutes of goofing off, they're going to remember that more than they're going to remember what you did to make them an extra $5. I'm not saying that going to work is bad, but I'm saying there's a balance. I talked to a pastor yesterday and he said, be prepared to preach tomorrow. I said, okay. I said, I had already told you I would. He goes, well, he goes, I was talking to Michael, and he said, he really wants me to be there. So he said, I was telling him, I said, you know, I can probably just go ahead and have Pastor Brian speak, and I could come back up here. And Michael said, do that. And he said, as soon as he said, do it, he said, I knew. He said, my son needed me more than the people here needed me. He said, not because I don't want to be pastor, and not because he doesn't care about us or care about your specific time, but at that point, his son needed him more than the job needed him. You see, when he spent the time with Michael today, then Michael will be there when he needs it. Michael will be ready to receive what his dad has to say because he spent the time with him. We have to get to the point where we don't look at students and look at people as time wasters, but we look at them as, how can I raise them up? How can I assist them to be better people? My wife and I, we don't use this term very easily and very openly. We have a couple that we consider as spiritual parents to us. They travel and they minister, and we've followed them around the state of Missouri for years and Illinois. And they're parents that we could say, you know what? If I need something, I know I can call you. If I need prayer, I know I can call you. If I just need somebody to listen, if I need to tell you, hey, man, ministry is really tough right now, and encouragement, I know I can call them. That's exactly what Paul was being to Timothy. He was being the encourager. He was spending time with him. And then the last one is this, is Paul spoke the word to Timothy. It's not enough to have responsibility. And it's not enough to spend the time with them. But when you have the time to spend with them, you have to put the word in them. Because putting the word in them is what gets them to the point where, even though you're not with them all the time, they can continue on. Putting the word in them gets them through the hard time when you're not able to be there. It's kind of like this. If I was to tell my son, son, I'm going to be here. Son, this is how you do this. Son, this is how you do that. And then I was to leave, and he never saw me again. Would he be able to move and do what it is that God had called him to do? Without the word? No. He'd have to be able to have the word in him. Paul spoke the word to Timothy. Too many people want to skip the word for this younger generation because they feel like it's too much time that I have to spend with them. They don't necessarily get it. I will tell you tonight, we had a great mix of worship. We had worship that was generated to the younger crowd. We had generational worship that was to the older crowd and even to the ones in the middle. But if we were to just all of a sudden just say, that's it, we're not directing worship to where the younger teenagers and the younger crowd can get into it, and we did just the hymnals all the time, we would lose some of that generation. I was listening to a guy. He was talking, and he said he was talking to these to his congregation, and it was a bunch of older people. And he said to them, he said, when you go out and you take time to see your family, does your family do what you want to do? And most of the time they look at him and say, no, they don't do what I want to do. In fact, when I know they're coming over, I make them that specific cake. They like that German chocolate cake, and that's what I'm making. Every time, all I got to do is call them and say I got a lasagna in the oven, and they are on their way. They will look and say, when it's time to go out to eat, we don't go where I want to go. We go where they want to go. And he looked at them and he said this one thing, and I'll never forget when he said it. He said, if you're compromising in everything you do because you want to spend time with them, why is it that our church has to compromise for you and not for them? Why is it that we're still stuck here doing this for you when you continue to look at me and say, I want my grandkids coming to church with me? You compromise dinner for them, but you won't compromise God for them. You won't compromise the preaching of the word to where they can understand it. You want it just for you, so when they hear it, they don't want to be in our church. They go down to that church because they can understand the word better. You want your singing and your stuff, and you don't want a little bit louder music. But when you go out to eat, you compromise everything else. He said, the moment that we started compromising and giving it to where the kids would come in, he said, the older generation never left. In fact, they saw growth because this mom's son was bringing his family, and this mom's son was bringing his family, and their daughter was coming, and their church grew because they finally realized that when the compromise happens, it's not because they have to compromise what God is and they have to compromise their songs, but they know that they had to compromise the change that was about to happen so they could see growth in their lives. They realized that they had to put the word in them however it made the most sense. You see, there's all different types of language Bibles out. You have King James, you have New King James, which just gets rid of all the these and thous and brings it back to simple words. You have the NIV, you have NLT, you have the Message, you have all these different translations. And I bet if I took a poll, not every single person in here is studying from the King James Version. Some of you probably have an NLT. Some of you probably have the King James or the New King James, or you have the Message. But why do they have all of these? Why are all of these so important? Because the word is always the same. But it's how you can respond to the word. The word stays the same in every single Bible, but the translation changes so that way it makes it easier for people to understand it. We have to make sure that we're putting the word into the next generation. If the next generation doesn't know the word, then the whole generation is going to start to crumble. But what would happen? What would happen if all of a sudden we decided that we weren't going to worry about what it sounded like or what it looked like, and we were going to say, you know what? I'm going to take time and invest into you because I want to make sure that you know the word. So that when I'm long gone from here, you're able to continue to speak the word. Whether you're speaking out of this Bible or that Bible or that Bible, as long as you're speaking out of the Bible, it doesn't matter the translation. Paul took time to put the word into Timothy. Romans 10:14 says this, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them. It is a responsibility of Paul to spend time with Timothy. It's a responsibility of Paul to take the little bit of extra effort to raise Timothy up, to be a teacher. And it's a responsibility of Paul to show him what the Word says. Paul taught Timothy who God was. Tonight, as I close, I'm going to ask you a simple question. I started it at the very beginning of this series. Next week, we're going to continue this series. But tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. The question is simply this. Who are you? Are you a teacher? Are you a mentor or an encourager? Are you that coach that we talked about at the beginning? Do you know what your responsibility is? Because here's one thing that we all need to understand, from the tallest to the smallest, however old you are to the youngest person in here, everybody needs to understand this one thing. We are all called to be Paul. We are all called to teach the next generation under us. If you are within the sound of my voice, you have been called to teach the person next to you and under you how to live their life according to the Word. How to live their life according to this. Because if they don't know what this tells them, then soon this generation that's under you isn't going to know. The generation under you isn't going to know how to fight off when the enemy comes in like a flood. How do they take care of it? You stand on the Word. You hide the Word down in your heart, because the Bible says, "Hide your word, and I hide your word in my heart, so that I might not sin against you." What sin? Sin is anything that doesn't glorify God. How do they know what sin is if you don't tell them? We got teenagers and kids who are looking at stuff on the internet they just shouldn't be looking at. We got teenagers now and kids now who are changing their identity because nobody's ever told them that you're beautiful the way you are. You got people who are looking around saying, "God, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm supposed to go out with this person, and I'm supposed to marry this guy who's not even a Christian. Maybe I'm supposed to marry this woman who doesn't believe anything that my parents taught me about." The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked," which means don't date somebody that's not believing the same thing you are. Don't marry somebody who doesn't believe exactly what you believe. But are we teaching them what the Word says? If we're not spending time with them, we're not teaching them the Word. If we don't know what our job is, we're not teaching them the Word. If we're pushing them away, we're definitely not teaching them the Word. We are all called to be Paul. There is a generation waiting for you. I've said this before in my message. You will speak to people that I will never speak to. You can impact people that I will never know who they are. I met some people within the last week. I would have probably never met them before in my life without circumstances that happened. But there's people in your life that you can speak to that I will never, ever, ever speak to, barring God just putting me in that place. So tonight, my question is simple. Who are you? Are you Paul? Are you ready to be Paul? Or are you just sitting back and waiting for somebody else to do it? Would you bow your heads with me?